Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Welcome to From Carpool to College. This is Tracy Amadeo.
And Tara Haritz.
And we have an AI series that we are in the middle of. We have two esteemed guests, Professor Tom and Professor Dawn.
Hello there.
Hi.
And Tara is, it's so funny. I was just editing the last bit of audio and they had this most amazing conversation. I'm like, stop, everybody just stop. And we're going to continue this conversation right now. So Tara, what did I miss while I was editing?
This always happens. We start talking and then you say, wait, save it for the mic.
Save it for the mic. So what are we in the middle of?
So we were talking about how professors and teachers, administrators, people are using AI in different ways and how there's all different levels of, I don't want to say buy-in, how people are accepting AI, right?
Oh, that's buy-in.
Yeah. Okay. So some, you know, some teachers and professors who are using it in the classroom are using it very willingly, embracing it, exploring it, while others tend to be very hesitant for, based out of fear or just thinking that it's just not useful in any way. So Professor Tom was telling us about a recent event that he went to.
Yeah, so I was at a conference, and this conference, its theme was resilience, I think was kind of like the underlying theme. And one of the topics was resilience in this time of technological disruption, right? That's kind of what AI is doing.
You find the coolest workshops.
It's something, when you got to learn, you got to find the fun stuff, right? And so, you know, I think that's, and for parents, this is a big thing. You know, teachers, professors, us in education, we enjoy learning. Learning is kind of what gets us in here.
So kind of our jam.
It's our jam, right? Yeah. So we're constantly evolving. We're constantly learning. We're going to conferences. We're going to workshops because we want to stay on top of things. And so, you know, we're really not only finding out what is the latest and greatest, but we're also trying to help navigate this landscape. And so this particular talk that I had gone to had a really good premise, which is that AI is not a single decision point, yes or no. It is an ongoing condition of academic life. Mm. So sometimes yes, sometimes no, depends. It's kind of that gray area, right? And it depends on where it's actually useful. So they talked about the different adopters, right? So you have at the outermost, if you think of a bunch of concentric circles like a bullseye, on the outside, you have the apprehensive. You have folks that are a little afraid to go to AI. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to do it. Then you have the approaching, those that are just dabbling, which I imagine most of us listening to this are doing, right? And trying it out in different things. And then you have the adopting and then the advancing, right? Mm. The adopting are those that are all in. And advancing, much like maybe Professor Dawn is, where you're actually pushing the envelope to see how this can work better and actually improve our situation. But I think what this particular speaker talked about, which was really helpful, is that adopting window, there's also abstaining, right? So it's, I'll adopt it. But there are some that are like, no, I'm okay with it, but we're not using it in this context and this here. And how we can understand that AI doesn't have to be all or nothing. You don't have to be pro and con because it's a tool. And the tool has usages depending on when you're going to use
it. Like, I don't use the hammer. I only use the screwdriver.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. Tool in the box.
You're still going to put that board up no matter what, right?
Right. So it might be easier.
It's how do you want to do it, right? So, I think there is that bit of continuum, right? And there is that kind of understanding. If it's not something that you're well-versed in, you're not going to use it or you're going to be afraid to use it. But you could overuse it, right? It can be overkill. I don't need to ask ChatGPT, you know, how do I open a tube of toothpaste? Like, it'll give me some suggestions, but is it necessary? You know?
So while Tom is out exploring whether or not AI can be used into the levels that AI is being used, I was at a conference about creating AI and how we are starting to see an increase in AI degrees. There are AI associate's degrees and AI bachelor's degrees and AI master's degrees. And we're seeing a lot of students going in this direction because, you know, it's the hot topic right now and that's what everyone is into. And being a computer scientist, there's a lot of concern that we're not going to develop programmers and people to do coding, and instead the AIs are going to do that. And so we're starting to see that people are interested in the making AI and the creating AI. And I got to see some amazing projects that people were making with AI. One of them was a high school group of students just generated an AI to interview you and then give you feedback on your posture, your eye contact, how well you answered questions. So imagine being able to prep yourself before you go into an interview and you can't find someone to sit and do this mock interview with. You do it with the AI. And so the uses are endless and the benefits are endless.
Yeah, and I think, Professor Tom, you had made a point, I think, in an earlier episode about mindset, right? Mm-hmm. And just being able to understand the scary unknown, right? For many. And so that scary unknown, looking at it with a mindset, in a positive way, there's so many advantages. It's just so uncharted. It's like so uncharted, right? And nobody knows the different ways that it will bring us and where it's going to wind up and how we will live with it and whatnot. So I think that it's safe to say that as we sit here as educators and people who have worked with young people at some capacity and, you know, even college level students, that it's important to recognize. And I think we can all say that we're not pro AI, but we're looking for the balance. We're looking for the balance and we recognize the importance of that, right?
For sure.
Because it's just not going away. So I was thinking about like the dangers of not using it in the classroom and not using it for certain things in life and how that you'll be at such a disadvantage not being a part of it. So,
right. Okay. To answer your question.
Yeah.
I forgot the question.
Dangers of not using AI.
To answer your question, the dangers of not using AI, I think about, you know, the advent of the automobile, the advent of any other type of technology. It's time. We gain so much time to do other things when we allow AI, when we harness the power of AI to do things that might be a little more menial. But I think our conversations are about being discriminating on how exactly to use it and being and having those higher order thinking skills to write the correct prompt. I don't know. I'm not, definitely not a soothsayer. It's not my domain to even answer this. I think my tech professors probably speak to it a lot better than I can. But certainly college and career-wise, which is what our podcast is about for the parents, AI is being used in every single facet. It's in the classroom. It's in the college application process. It's in the college application reading and evaluation. It's in marketing for college. It's everywhere.
And so it's in the fields once you graduate from
college. And it's in the fields. Exactly. So if someone is abstaining, if someone is not using it, if someone is afraid, you are not part of the pack. Mm-hmm. You eventually, there are going to be some kind of consequences. Not sure exactly where, but there will be consequences.
Yeah.
I think for me, me personally as a school counselor during the day, as a business owner, private practice, as a podcast host, I harness the power of AI to help manage my research, my calendars, my billing, like everything, every facet of my professional life, AI is touching, even my personal life as well, just kind of teasing out different ideas. So, but for our conversation and part of our AI series, you know, what do we want parents to understand about AI? What do parents need to keep an eye out for. Professor Dawn was talking earlier, and I want to ask you about this because I think it really struck me that you were kind of talking. Of course, it's always off mic. We were talking off mic about AI in the classroom, the benefits of it when we're looking at recording lectures and getting transcripts. Can we remember that conversation?
Yes,
can we pick that up? Because I feel like we do this in meetings, Professor Tom and I. We've all been in our meetings together, Professor John. Professor Tom and I have always been in a meeting, and one of our colleagues, who shall remain nameless, who we adore, she was one of the first ones to use AI so overtly in meetings, and she would use Otter AI to attend meetings that she wasn't physically present in. And at first it was like, oh, well, she's not here, but her AI is. And it's just like, wah, wah. But now it's like, oh, no, I'll send Otter to attend that meeting and I'll be at this meeting so I can do both. Like, it's a shift.
Right.
But in the classroom with the transcripts, I think that could be huge for students.
Yes. So what we were just talking about off mic was how we have students who have, you know, IEPs, 504s, or students sometimes they're too tired, you know, they're starting to doze off during your lesson, or they're paying attention to many things at one time. And if you recorded your lesson and then put it into the AI, and the AI could generate notes, and then those notes could go to your students, then they're already taking notes, but then they can use your notes as kind of a or the AI generated notes as a supplement. And that would really benefit the students. But I also think it would benefit the faculty too. I mean, teachers need to reflect on their teaching. And so if you are going to listen to yourself teach, you'll be able to go back and improve your presentation. So I think there's benefits on both sides. And then for those parents who really do want to be involved too and understand what their students are learning, they have an opportunity to see that too. So I think, I don't know, I'm going to try it myself.
And I think we should touch on that point too, is that professors are using it in the classroom.
They are.
We're using it in planning.
Yep.
We're using it in our offices. It's, you know, AI has found it's given us an ability to reduce, quote unquote, the menial tasks, focus on the tasks that require more higher order thinking, that requires our planning, to make us more efficient, make us better instructors, right? So, you know, as a student, that should also be the thought process. And you know, how do I use this in a higher order to make me a better student? It's everywhere. And go back to Tara, to your point here about, you know, what would happen if you don't come on board. You know, think about when you meet somebody in the street and you're like, oh, hang on, let me text you that. They're like, oh, I don't text. I don't have a phone. Or let me email you. I don't email. I don't have an email. And then you kind of do a double take. You're like, what do you mean you don't email?
You think Ted Kaczynski. You know,
yeah, like, what do you mean you don't text? Right?
Unabomber, right away.
I think that's what's going to, AI is going to be at the point that you're just like, oh, what agent do you use to analyze your data, right? Or what platform are you using to do X, Y, Z? And you're like, oh, I don't do that. And people are going to look at you and be like, well, why not, right? And, you know, of course, this is exciting stuff. There's a bubble right now. Everybody's AI. And that bubble's going to burst. We're going to settle. We're going to understand and get a better feel for where it is applicable and not applicable. But, yeah, I think if you're not going to get on the train, the day will come that your own ignorance will show through, because folks are already moving at a faster pace than you are, because what would normally bog you down has been liberated by a computer.
Right.
Interesting thought. I don't know how I feel about it, but I think it is true.
I know. Listen, as a Gen Xer in the room, I'm not the only one. You know, I think of the Terminator.
Yeah.
I always do.
Skynet's like, about
Skynet,
to,
the
you
arm.
Know.
That's it. Schwarzenegger's going to show up at my door. Tracy Amadeo. And it's like, oh, my God.
You didn't do your math homework?
Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you, though, if I was a senior, if I was a high school kid right now, I would absolutely be using AI to do my math homework because that was my weakest link, and it made me feel the worst about myself. If I had a way to get around it painlessly, I would absolutely do it. And I do see in high school, you know, kids are using it. And I do also see teachers talking and struggling and embracing. They're all over, you know, it's a spectrum of use and acceptance. But there's definitely underlying fear of how much is being used. Are kids, are they still thinking for themselves, or are they kind of just using the tech?
That's a dangerous area.
You know, it's a dangerous thing. And I see I've been in many high schools and many different classrooms. I even did a little social experiment in a classroom a little bit ago where I put a tray of cookies in the, I put a tray of cookies in front of the room. And I wrote free cookies on a piece of paper right in front, because kids came in, didn't look at me, sat down, and went right on their phones. And I wasn't the regular teacher. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And only 2 kids out of 27 actually took cookies.
I believe it. I believe.
They had their heads buried in their phones. So
I call it the good morning test. I'll walk into a class and I'll say, good morning, how's everybody doing? And you just get, they look up from their phones. They just kind of look at you. There's no good morning back. There's no acknowledgement. And I don't know if it's Pavlovian or not, but like if somebody says good morning to me, I instinctively just say good morning, even if it's not morning.
Of
right?
course.
It's just the societal conditioning,
it's
right?
Action.
And you know, now the response is just look up from their phone and be like, oh, okay, well, we're starting. Oh, okay, let me put that away. And, right. you know, so I can totally see an experiment like that, how it's going.
The human interaction doesn't go away because the AI is here. And I don't want parents to think that.
Right.
I think that what it's enabling me to do is, because I don't have to spend so many hours writing a new assignment for a new topic that I haven't written before, AI can help me write that assignment. And then I can be with the students, working with them, and seeing what they're doing with that assignment. And how are they, you know, utilizing what I gave them, and how are they actually completing the assignment? And then I'll know whether it's a good assignment or whether it's a bad assignment. But I actually feel like I will get more human interaction with them, because I'm not going to have to spend so much time trying to come up with something new, because, you know, I can use ChatGPT to give me an assignment to try out with my class.
Now, that's for us in the classroom now. But I do have a caveat, I think, to that I don't agree with, right? And that is, we're seeing a lack of sociability in students. We're seeing a generation where there is no differentiation between a real life interaction and a digital interaction, right? A text message is equivalent to a conversation. They have the same psychological kind of trigger, right?
Sure.
So, you know, in the classroom, that is the liberation of AI. That's what it allows us to be more humanistic in the classroom, to work with the students, right? My only worry as far as that aspect, and I would, you know, tell parents about, is that they do still need human interaction. It still has to be at the forefront, right? How many folks sit there and say, oh, I've got a pain in my side, and we've WebMD'd it. And, you know, it's always brain cancer, right? No matter what you do, right?
Oh,
I've got a hangnail. Yes. Oh, no, it's brain cancer, right? Like, it's because in that vacuum of this digital interaction, there's nothing to check your inputs and outputs, right? And you're going to reach your own conclusions. And at least from a human social aspect, there's more interaction there to provide you a mirror for what's happening. I feel like more and more students, what I worry about is that these AI models are becoming their friends. They're becoming their counselors, their confidants, their, you know, and I just heard a story on the news not too long ago about an unfortunate event of somebody who had taken their life. They had fallen.
Yeah, sure about that.
And so I think that is the dark side here, right?
Of course.
Of, you know, it is your confidant, your tutor, your assistant. It's your personal assistant, but it is not your personnel, right? It is not something that can replace that human interaction.
But I also, yeah, as the counselor in the room, I was horrified that AI was used, any one particular variable was identified as the cause of the terrible thing.
Right.
Because I always say this in our practice, and life is not linear, right?
Right.
And it's multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And that AI or tech was used as the A plus B equals bad. And right. I really don't like how that was mm-hmm. spun.
Right.
At all.
Well, I think that was the easy, that was the low hanging fruit to say,
right,
oh, look at
but
what
the
AI
masses
did.
Will eat it up.
Right, of
they
will.
The masses are
of
eating
course.
It up, and yeah, that now somehow that there's this demonic, evil, bad influence, and that it has to be removed.
Well, I think if you yeah. took the same headline and you replaced, much like we were saying, you replaced the word AI with Google, folks would be like, oh, that's silly. Right. How is Google going to do that to you, right?
Right.
But it's just a sign of the times. AI is still this scary
yes.
thing,
yes. Yes.
right?
The whispers.
That everybody's like, oh, look what it did. It didn't do anything. It's the individual.
Right.
But
there was pathology there.
It's
already.
The pathology, right?
Right.
But there is a danger. So parents, as much as we encourage AI, because it is here, it's not going anywhere, and we're making use of it to elevate the learning experience so we can go into higher order things and train our future professionals, with everything, there has to be a certain level of sustainability there, right? There, you have to, it has to be tempered mm-hmm. because if unchecked, Skynet's here, right? if
yeah.
left unchecked, it could have an adverse effect if used improperly, right? It's a tool. It's not good or bad. It's how it's used.
Right. I did see something positive, which was that now that students are using AI to generate assignments, teachers have to think about different ways to assess
mm-hmm.
students.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I was reading about was instead of asking a student to produce a lab report, like mm-hmm. you were talking about previously, mm-hmm. you would have the student present their findings. So the student's getting up in front of the class mm-hmm. and talking about mm-hmm. what they found.
Yes.
So now this is so much better because instead of them writing it, they're speaking it. But also as the teacher, you get to see you get to hear from them. You get to see eye contact. You get to see how well they can communicate. And then you can work on soft skills, which is something that AI absolutely cannot do.
And such a big push right now,
yes,
especially in the
skills.
STEM area, right, for soft skills. But, you know, it's good, as you're saying that, I 100% agree. And I think that's exactly, you know, one of the biggest benefits we're using it in engineering. But I almost wonder, we went from a period where everybody could talk, but we needed to develop all their technical skills,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Now
yes.
we're reaching the point that we don't really need to focus on technical skills because we've created tools that can supplement a
right.
lot.
But we
now
need
we
them
need to
talk.
Go back to making people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And folks who can be good professionals, know how to interact, are able to present their ideas coherently.
Work on a team.
Right.
Work on a team.
Yes.
Huge.
So during COVID, students learned to take online classes.
Mm-hmm.
Students learned online submissions. And it was almost like we didn't know who was doing the submissions. We just knew that they showed up and we were grading them.
Mm-hmm.
So now, yes, we're going to have the students submit something, but then they're going to talk about it. And we're going to get to see that, yes, in fact, the student that did the submission is the student who did the work, and we'll be able to see the whole picture and not just the paper that they're pushing through for
right.
me to grade.
Yeah. Quick question for you guys, being that you're both college professors, does your college or, you know, maybe someone in another school near you that you communicate with, do they have any type of AI policy in place?
So at our institution, and I don't know if Professor Dawn, I mean, we do work at the same institution. She might have she might know something different than I do. We are developing an institutional-wide policy.
Okay.
But a lot of it is left for individual departments to ascertain what is the appropriate usage for their particular niche in their particular area. But generally speaking, nationwide, a lot of institutions kind of fall into that same kind of umbrella. Either there is an institutional policy that applies across the institution, or it is left for individualistic determinations from faculty, from departments, to determine how does AI fit in your discipline, and therefore you decide whether or not it's in. So some institutions have multiple policies. So this is the acceptable AI use, partial AI use, no AI use. And it's up to the discipline area or the instructor to decide which of these policies they will implement. But is there a policy? I think in the absence of a policy, more likely than not, the instructor's making their own policy, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I think a policy is always present,
right?
Regardless of whether it's been institutionalized or not.
Right. I know, I mean, in my department, we are all approaching AI a little bit differently. So every faculty member has their own AI policy. Some are more liberal than others. But we were just talking this week about how we have to revamp every course we have in the computer science area because we need to incorporate AI into all of those courses.
Oh, wow.
So then we're going to have to adopt an AI policy based on the fact that the course is going to include artificial intelligence. So that's going to be a big task for us. We were just talking about, like, how are we going to do that? Because in computer science right now, AI can write the code. So what are we going to be training computer scientists to do? That's a big jump for a lot of faculty. And that's something that we really have to look into. I can tell you that some faculty members, when they find students using AI, they look to have a meeting with the students to have some reflection on what did you learn from using the AI to solve the problem and how would you go about it differently now that we found that you used AI and submitted it as your own. So kind of taking them to task on it.
What if, I was just thinking, like, what if a kid cited, do kids cite AI in their research?
I encourage them
to cite AI.
So they do say. So what about Tara in your classroom? Do they cite AI?
No, and we have a program that we use that you can hit playback and you can watch how they're typing it after they submitted it. So you can watch every single line that types and then all of a sudden a huge block of text pops in.
Oh, wow.
And then they'll go back in and refine that text to make it sound a little bit more,
like massage it to humanize it. But is that cited?
No,
I guess that's my question.
No.
So
but should it be?
Right. So for me, and my policy is, it should be. So you are in some of my assignments, you are allowed to use AI. AI is encouraged. However, you must include the prompt.
That's what I'm talking about.
With a short, and I actually go a little bit further. I have them cite the prompt, and I also have them cite what was their reasoning for prompting at this particular point of the project, right? So what was your reasoning for implementing AI for this particular step of the project or assignment? Because I want them thinking about, why did I reach for the tool? And what was the output that it gave me, right? And having the prompt at least lets me understand where that output came from, type of thing, But that's how I have
it. Gives you a glimpse into their thinking,
right?
Yeah,
because that's what it's boiling down to,
and also their needs, right?
Right.
Like maybe they something needs to be explained a little bit differently, or whatever it may be, and that would
As the instructor, it will give you that insight to tell your to pulse read their learning and their learning needs. But also, we're all talking, we're all obviously embracing it and we're harnessing it and we're talking about it to parents with the kind of umbrella that, like, it is here. This is how it's used in a classroom. Mm-hmm. This is how we use it. Tara and I talk about how it's used in the college planning process, the college essay process. Mm-hmm. But, we talk about it being the elephant in the living room. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So why wouldn't we give it credit?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't
right.
we
yeah.
excited. Do you? Do your? Yeah. Are your kids doing that too?
Yeah, absolutely.
In your comp sci classrooms.
Yes, I encourage them to cite it and submit the prompt.
And how do you submit the prompt? So this is even more technical. Is it like, because this, you know, we're all master's level plus here. Right. Is there a format for that now? For like an MLA or an APA format?
I would be surprised if one will be developed soon. Right. You know, because that is. The prompt is your input, right?
Yeah.
And it's the measured output. So just as you would cite Wikipedia back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. Or Google, there's probably going to be a citation methodology for MLA or APA for AI use, I would imagine.
Anyone's listening, right? Over at Purdue Owl.
The Purdue Owl, yes.
Purdue Owl, right.
Sponsor.
So yeah, really new sponsor. I don't know. I think I'm going to hit up this Lakebourne Coffee because they're freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But I just am curious about that. But these were some great conversations. And we know that, you know, AI is here. We're harnessing it. We're using it in every facet. And parents, we also want you to know, you know, we all know, we can all agree that it's not going to replace that intellectual curiosity, the judgment, or the voice. But again, parents, don't panic. AI is definitely here to help your kid be that kind of thinker who knows how to use the tools. I think we have our comp sci professor Dawn, and we have our engineering professor Tom, and we talk about tools a lot and leveraging that. So let's not let that scare us, but let's also make sure that we're not letting the tools do the thinking for them. Mm-hmm. Right. So we want to thank you so much for joining us on this really, hopefully, parents, you enjoyed these conversations, this AI series. And thank you for joining us, Professor Tom, again.
Good to be here,
as always. And Professor Dawn, thank you. We hope you will come back.
Thank you. I would love to.
Well, awesome stuff. And I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And Tara Horitz.
And this is From Carpool to College.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to be a part of our growing community. Please share and follow our show. For those who want to support us further, join our Patreon site. Your support helps us create high-quality content and great episodes. Plus, our Patreon members get exclusive perks like bonus episodes, early access, and behind-the-scenes content that we think you're just going to love.
And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only, and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you, and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done.
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please.
I am from the class of 2030. I've come back.